weed from raw material contamination. Om Agyana Tumarandasya Gyanan Gana Salakaya Taksuron Milatamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manomistam Javadam Inam Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadati Svam Patantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Indriya Vishaya Krishna Akshiptam Dayatam Mana Chaitana Rayate Buddhi Stambasto Yamiva Radat. When one mind and senses are attracted by sense objects for enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated. As a result of continuous thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness almost becomes lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. So this is called Vishaya. Vishaya. Vishaya barite hobe shunaka bari. So Narottam Das sings Vishaya, that we are all attracted to Vishaya. Vishaya and Ashraya. Vishaya, Ashraya. These are the two fundamental principles of consciousness. Prabhu, you're already asleep. We haven't even got off to the first sentence. I don't mind halfway through, I can understand that when I get a bit boring. But I can't be boring on the first sentence. You have to give me a hope. So, Vishaya, Ashraya, Vishaya. Vishaya means object, objective principle, object. An ashraya means one who takes shelter of the object. So that shelter, we see everyone takes shelter, just like one time on a morning walk, we were with Srila Prabhupada on the beach in Bombay. So these little crabs, tiny little things, so there was millions of them all running towards the ocean whenever we would walk towards them. So Prabhupada stopped with his cane, he said, just see, they are feeling some anxiety, some fear, so they need shelter. They need shelter. So they are taking shelter of the big ocean. They're not running towards the bushes. They're taking shelter of the big ocean because they know instinctively that there they will get shelter. And that shelter is all will give them protection. Because once they've entered the water, many times, I don't know if you were a child, you used to go after crabs, looking for them. Just to look for them, find them. But as soon as they entered into the water, they're gone. They had some mystical way. That was it. They became almost one with the huge ocean. And then out of sight, you can't find them. And also, it's true that this instinctive Prabhupada was saying that this is the instinct, how they're not running towards the bushes or the land, because the super soul is guiding them, that you take shelter here. You see, super soul is guiding them, you take shelter here. We see that with so many different types of creatures, that they have this amazing, there's even a rhinoceros, and when the baby is born, it runs away from the mother. There's no other child that runs away from its mother when it's born, because the mother licks the child and kills it. The rhinoceros' tongue is like sandpaper. So, and the whole skin of the entire little creature is taken off. So instinctively, as soon as they're born, they disappear for about 4 or 5 days. And they come back when their skin is a bit stronger, in case mummy gives them a lick. So that is the super soul giving them instruction that you get a better get some shelter because this mama of yours is going to whop your skin off with the nicest of attention. So this direction of the super souls, buddhi, intelligence, the dhammi buddhi yogam tam. So this buddhi intelligence is there in everyone. We all have intelligence. Some of us have more than others, but we have intelligence. And this intelligence is there to guide us. This guidance of the super soul is our real vishaya, our real shelter. This is our real shelter. We are ashraya, just like there was a devotee called Bhagwat Ashraya. Bhagwat Ashraya, Bhagwat. Now, we take shelter. Bhaktisiddhanta put it very nicely. He said, by absorbing ourselves in the small, we lose sight of the great. Very profound statement. By absorbing ourselves in the small, we lose sight of the great. So that is the principle of matter. Matter is a limiting energy, restricting energy. Matter restricts us. Everybody thinks that they're actually getting some freedom from matter by being absorbed in matter. The very thing which is restricting them, they think by taking shelter of it, they'll become free. You see? Such a stupid idea. In other words, the very thing that's causing me distress, I'm thinking the more I take shelter of it, the more I'll become happy. They don't know, you see, they don't know what is distressing them. They're not seeing the real thing because they're absorbed in the small, duratma. Duratma and mahatma. Duratma means small-mindedness. The mind becomes more and more absorbed in the material energy. It becomes more and more petty. We see this practically. It's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist in philosophy to know that people who are very materialistic are generally very petty-minded. You know, the classical person who's sort of like bodily conscious or material conscious, they're always fussing over everything. Ooh, my hair is not quite right. And always looking in the mirror to get things right and fussing around about that. The body itself, which is the most ugliest thing on the planet, they're absorbed in thinking that this thing can look nice. So this is called Maya, Maya illusion. Maya takes away our intelligence. This is Maya's business, to take away our intelligence. Krishna is there to give us intelligence. You see, Krishna is giving us intelligence. He says, as you, yeyamam prapadyante, as you come to me, I give you intelligence. I will give you. As you surrender to me, I will give you everything. I have no shortage. Krishna is not short of anything. Try and understand. Therefore, we can understand these three things. There is the object, there is which is called the Vishaya, and there is that which takes shelter of the object, called Ashraya. And in between, what's in between? You have the two things. You have the individual living entity who takes shelter. Everyone knows, the point is, everyone does take shelter. Everyone takes shelter. Some people take shelter of their family. That's why they rush home at night thinking, oh, when I get home and I see my lovely coochie-woochie, Diana, and she gives me little cuddly-wuddlies, and I'll be happy after that stressful day in the office. And then my little kitty-witties will roll all over me and saliva will drip on my head. I can squeeze them. So that's natural. You come home to your family, there's a nice, you've decorated the way you wanted, you've got your television in the right place, you've got your little games that you play, or your little pipe in the right spot, or everything is just right, and you can put your legs up and relax, because you're home. You're home, and all your anxieties are left at the door, supposedly. So this, we take shelter in our family, we take shelter in our friends, We take shelter in our job or our studies, or we take shelter of alcohol, or we take shelter of raving around and running around having sex or whatever. Whatever we take shelter of. So, in between the object and the knower of the object, these two things are there. There's the object and the knower of the object. In the Gita, this is called Kshetra Kshetragna. Kshetra Kshetragna. One who knows the field and the field, and the knower of the field. So, but there's also supreme knower of the field. You see? We're living in a field. Everyone has come to a field, isn't it? No one went to a roof. We went to the field, because in the field, there is accommodation. The field can accommodate us. That's why people have come here. There's nice accommodation. So we need to be accommodated. And the field is there. We are the knower of the field. Knower of the field means the individual consciousness. And there's the supreme knower of the field. Supreme knower of the field means the super soul, Krishna. So the living entity is absorbed in the field of this material world. And on account of his absorption in this material world, he has lost sight of the supreme knower, the supreme object of all, that is Krishna. So here it says, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusionary energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. So by absorbing myself in the small, I have lost contact with the great. You see, everyone is absorbed in something petty. We may call it, just like we're so embarrassed by our petty world that we try to look to other worlds, or we try to look to other... We broaden our sphere of consciousness by trying to pretend we can move out into the universe and we can expand our field more and more and more. But, as Prabhupada gave a very nice example, he said, you may go up into the sky very high, but Prabhupada said, they're always thinking, where will I go down and see my cuddly-wuddly Diana, where my little babies? So even though these astronauts go high, 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 just like many times, you go up in an aeroplane, but people can't wait to land. As soon as they land, they all get up and pull their bags out. But you could say, oh, isn't it such an exciting thing? You're 60,000 feet up or 50,000 feet up. Are you not excited? Now, if you could walk 30,000 feet up in the sky, people would be going, oh, isn't that amazing? But who wants to stay up there? See what I mean? Because people want sense gratification. They want to come down and hit the bar and hit this and hit that and hit that. So that's why in the planes, they try to give them all sorts of distractions to absorb themselves in. Television, and you have dinners all the time and people coming around. Would you like this? Would you like that? Would you like this? Because people always have to be taking shelter of something. We always need to take shelter. Predominantly, what are we taking shelter of? We're taking shelter of our mind. You see? We're taking shelter of our mind. Because the mind is the conductor of the material world. We are conducted, just like we are being conducted by the mind. The mind is the connector to the material world, and the senses are the thing which connects us. Just like when you have electricity, you need a connector, isn't it? Electricity is very powerful energy, but you need a conductor and a connector. So that regulator is there. Maya is the regulator of the energy of the material world. Maya. And the connection is the conductor of the Maya. Conducting Maya is the mind. And the connector is the senses. We are connected to this material world by our senses. So through these senses, we are absorbing ourselves in what? We have to absorb ourselves in something, sense objects. So the sense objects, they are the thing which keep us either happily or miserably absorbed. Sometimes when we're happily absorbed, we say, ooh, I'm happy. Ooh, I'm happy. And sometimes we say, oh, this is a miserable experience. So Krishna says, Matrishpashastu Kuntaya Shitoshna Sukadukada. Sometimes we are tasting happiness, sweetness, and when we are tasting happiness, we feel very excited and very happy. Then we even sometimes within moments, the stress comes. So this is the stress. So in that terms, we can understand that this object or this phenomenon of the material world is not substantial to actually give us proper shelter. The shelter, you can only have shelter when you're happy. This is a true fact. Really, to take shelter, you need to be happy. Now, what makes us happy is another question. But the principle of happiness, in the highest principle, is when one is actually absorbed in love. This principle of love is the highest principle. Even within the material world, the principle of love is the highest principle. And therefore, the in order for the living entity to take shelter, we need to be in love. We need to be in love. Now, in the material world, our love is not wholesome. It's not wholesome. We can also love. We can love so many things. But the very things which we are trying to love, they are also not substantial. They're not substantial. If they were substantial, then they would give us substantial satisfaction. You see? So therefore, we find that we can't properly absorb ourselves. We can't absorb ourselves. We want to surrender. We want to take shelter. But that thing which we are trying to take shelter of is not substantial because that is the shadow of Krishna. Shadow of Krishna. You see? Just like if I want to love you, can I love your shadow? You see? Can I love your shadow? Shadow is the one thing you can't love about someone. You could love almost everything about someone, but their shadow, let's be honest, you'd have to be really desperately in love to be walking around chasing someone's shadow. So similarly, this Maya is the projected energy of Krishna. Projected energy. Now, the example is used very nicely that the substance is there, because without substance you can't have a shadow. You can't have illusion unless there's reality. You see? You can't have a reflection unless there's an object. So therefore, if you like, the real conclusion has to be, is this the reality? Atata Brahma Jignasya, now in this human form of life, is time to study what is reality and what is illusion. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who can understand the difference between what? What is that verse in the Gita? Krishna explains. One who can understand the difference between matter and spirit and the controller of both is in perfect knowledge. You see? So one has to understand what is the, scientifically, we are not talking about sentimental religion or some hodgepodge idea. Study scientifically what is the constitution of matter. Isn't it? Therefore this is called Sankhya. Sankhya means to count. To study the fundamental ingredients of matter. The biological, yes, we don't mind studying biology, chemistry and everything, but to understand what is matter. Matter is made up of molecules, cells and different types of units. But basically, matter itself is actually prone to two particular qualities. Well, actually three really, but it's prone to, what is it prone to? Change, isn't it? Change. Matter is prone to change. Anyone will tell you, even the biggest scientist, he'll tell you that everything changes. Every moment, the cells, the molecules, the air, everything's moving, everything's shifting, everything's changing. That very thing which we're trying to absorb ourselves in is not substantially even there. What to speak of enjoying it? It's not even there. It doesn't even stay. Surely the first principle of the first principle of enjoying something or absorbing oneself in something is that at least it should stick around. But matter doesn't. It's constantly changing. Your mind in the morning is different from your mind at noontime or in the evening. Your mind, one minute you can be sitting there going, oh, I feel great, and a second later you can be feeling total miserable. You see? The mind is so fickle. Now, if the mind is the conductor of the material world, which we cannot actually argue with, even psychiatrists would tell you that, we conduct our consciousness through the subtle and then through the gross. So if the subtle itself is constantly changing, that itself makes life very extremely difficult, because by this constant change of mind, you have a very big problem. This is called chanchala. The mind is constantly flickering and changing. So that our determination is constantly changing. So therefore, because we have no real determination in the sense of faith, we have to have faith. That's the first principle of determination, that at least you should have faith in something. So that's why you find most people, one minute they have faith in this, then they have faith in that, then they do this, then they do that. They're constantly changing, changing, changing. And because of this constant flickering consciousness, there's no peace. There's no peace. And how can there be happiness without peace? So therefore we find that internally there is constant change. And externally, situations are constantly changing. The situation of the of our, you see how we become subjected to the constant conditions of matter, constant different conditions of matter. In other words, I might be feeling wonderful, and then some idiot comes along and punches me in the head, or steals my money. Many times you've had example of that, where you're having a great time and then you lose your car keys. You lose your car keys. And like 5 hours later, you're ready to punch someone, you know. Someone comes up and says, you okay, Prabhu? And you're totally stressed out because you know everyone's gone. We get this at festivals a lot. But we had a great time, wonderful kirtans, prasad. We lost our keys. And we can't go home. So, as an example, there are billions of examples, I'm sure we all could tell a few, where we've been very happy and suddenly the actual circumstances change. So even though our internal side is happy, the external's changed, which then becomes our cause of distress. So this is called adidevaka, adibhautika, adiatmaka, klesha. Klesha means these are antagonistic, they're inflictions on us. They're inflicted. Just like our mind, it's an infliction. Isn't it, Neville? It's an infliction. We have this thing inside us which is inflicting torment on our... We don't want this. But because we don't belong here, we don't belong in this body, we don't belong with this transitory, changeable energy. And on account of the extreme changeability of matter, and also on account of these outside forces which are hostile, they're actually hostile to our real happiness. If you study, you'll find that circumstances are the biggest cause of distress. Isn't it? They're the biggest cause of distress. That's why everyone's always trying to find their own little space. Mother Vrinda's got a little ambulance which she hides in. I got my little van, and someone else has their little room, and they go in there, and practically you go in there to hide, isn't it? Moksha Lakshmi goes to her lovely home with her little kitty-witties.
Away from you.
So everyone has to have their shelter, you see? And there we can hide away, and hopefully you're not going to get hit by a tornado or a hurricane, or you're not going to get bugged by the manor management. You're not going to get Ritviks or whatever comes in, hopefully. So you can hide away there and you can feel protected. But everyone's doing that. Everyone needs their shelter. But we find that even these bigger shelters, like our family, society, home, and all the rest of it, they also change. They also change. They move on with time. Everything is shifting by the forces of time. So therefore, what is the conclusion of this is that by becoming too much absorbed in this transitory material world, actually we've become very petty. We have become lost to petty activity. Activity where, okay, we need to do it, there's no question. We need to look after our body, we need to brush our teeth and give ourselves a shower and put ourselves to bed and give a little food in our belly. We need all of these things. But at the same time, we should not misunderstand these things to be the, supreme thing. They are relative to our body. But we need things which are relative to our soul, you see? We need absolute relativity. Just like in the material world, we have absorbed ourselves in material relativity. In other words, by becoming, as Krishna says, that the living entity is my part and parcel. But mamasastani indriyani prakritistani. So because of the living entities are my part and parcels, and they are in me and they are mine. But due to conditional life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So the living entity is always with Krishna. This is Krishna's energy. This is Krishna energy. Just like now we're sitting in the sunshine. We're not sitting on the sun, are we? We're not sitting on the sun. We're sitting on the sunshine. Because if you sit on the sun, you will get rather a warm posterior. So better to sit here, you see? We need to sit on the sunshine. So also we're not sitting on Krishna. We're sitting on Krishna's energy. You see? We're sitting on Krishna's energy. This is Krishna's energy. And this is the Krishna's accommodating energy. Krishna can accommodate everything. Balaram, Shankarshan, means all accommodating potency. Lord Balaram has all accommodating potency. He can accommodate every living entity. So we have been accommodated by Krishna's energy. And although we are Krishna's, and this is Krishna's energy, so therefore why are we not seeing Krishna? Why are we not seeing Krishna? Because we have separated the energy from the energetic. Just like when you want to enjoy the sunshine, you need to separate it from the sun. You understand? Giving a crude example. Electricity is there all over the place. But you need to get it into the powerhouse and then make your electrical cables and bring your lights bulbs, isn't it? Light bulbs are also sunshine, but they're captured. So everyone is capturing some situation in this material world. We are capturing our small world within a big world. Just like there's this huge universe, but we've captured a little bit of energy. We have a little bit of money in our pocket. We got our little flat. We got our little car, our little family, our little unit. So like that, we are trying to separate the energy from the energetic. And therefore, this is artificial. This is artificial. The living entity can never actually be separated from Krishna. You see? So therefore, Krishna manifests himself through this material energy in order to give us actually some support. You see? Because Krishna is the real support. You can see it practically. Just like I need some pleasure. So Krishna comes as anamoya. Anamoya means the pleasure in foodstuffs, you see? Krishna is there in the food. That's why when you bite into a beautiful peach or like that, you feel Krishna. Where is that taste coming from? How is it coming? If it's such a simple thing, then how come science hasn't been able to create some new variety in terms of just like whatever is here on this planet for our sustenance, our support has been here for millions of years and it will be here for millions of years in the future. No new thing is coming. Nobody really makes any new thing. We just come here, we manipulate, and we go. It's like, just like if someone visits your apartment, everything is there in the apartment. They don't require to bring new thing into you. Just like if I visit a friend, I don't need to bring my pots and pans and new cooker and new fridge and new shower. Everything is there. I use what's there and I go. So we are visitors. We are visiting Krishna's kingdom, and Krishna is providing so much nice facilities. Just like the sun. The sun is there. The sun is there, we take it for granted, but the sun is actually wonderfully situated to give us a nice warm back and to give us some light. From the sun comes life. All of this variety is coming from the sun. So therefore, these arrangements are there. So when we study the arrangement, we see that Krishna is giving us the support. And unfortunately, instead of remembering Krishna by his energy, we are forgetting Krishna. So this is the problem. The problem is not the energy. The problem is that the energy has, due to the contamination of our mind and our false ego, we are separating the energy from the energetic. So therefore, this responsibility of our human form of life is simply to turn our minds back to Krishna. And when we turn our minds back to Krishna, then everything becomes fully complete. Complete. Everything becomes perfect and complete. Because God is perfect and complete. His energy is perfect and complete. We are also perfect and complete. But our incompleteness is our incomplete understanding. You see? Ignorance. This ignorance of the material world, we are become ignorant. So therefore Krishna says, for those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with all their heart, I give them this extra thing. You see, we need that extra thing. I give them this extra thing. What is that extra thing? I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. You see? That is the only thing missing. It is not that we need some to add anything here. We have come here just like our body. We don't add an extra arm or put on an extra nose, or we don't need to have an extra mouth. You see? Everything is perfectly there. Purnam, Purnam. Our body is perfect. It's perfectly arranged that we can enjoy to a certain capacity. Material energy itself is providing that enjoyment. We are absorbed in these things. But at the same time, extra thing, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. And what is that understanding by which we can come to me? Patram pushpam balam toyam. Krishna says, simply you offer to me with your love, because Krishna wants our love. And therefore, he wants us to turn to him in love. He doesn't need anything else from us. We have nothing which can add to Krishna. What are we going to do? We're going to put some more gopis in the spiritual world to keep Krishna happy? Or we're going to perform some wonderful feat to impress Krishna? Just like if you try to offer now a candle to the sun, isn't it? The sun doesn't require your candle. You may go out and say, hey sun, you need a bit of help? You look a bit dim today. Here's a candle. So in that way also with God, we don't need to give anything to God. He doesn't need anything. He's not in need of anything. Rather, he is giving everything to everyone. But he is looking for our love because we are eternally linked with him in our loving relationship. And on account of this, becoming into this orbit of the material world, where we are becoming more and more entangled in this vishaya, vishaya varite habe. We are constantly chasing after the bubbles in the ocean of the material world. We are constantly chasing after this illusion, that illusion. None of them are giving any shelter. We have no shelter in the material world. So therefore, as Krishna says, that after many, many lifetimes of struggle, bhavanam jamanam mante, after many lifetimes of struggling around, chasing after this shadow of Krishna, this illusionary shadow of Krishna, then finally we understand, oh, Vasudeva Sanamriti, that who's behind the shadow? You see? Who's behind this? Who's behind the shadow? You see? Who's behind the shadow? Behind that shadow is the real substance. The real substance is Krishna. And therefore, we need to connect up to the reality. Then when we connect up to the reality, just like when the clouds are covering the sun, you can't get such a nice experience. You're still experiencing the world, isn't it? You're still experiencing the world, but you're not getting such a complete experience. Something is missing, isn't it? When you wake up in the morning and it's all cloudy and miserable, there's something missing in your life. You feel a bit dismal. But when the sun comes out, then you feel very invigorated. The natural condition of daytime is sunshine. If you go up in an airplane, you see sun is always there. It didn't go anywhere. It's always there. That's natural condition. Sometimes when I'm leaving London, there's like 10 miles of clouds. And then I get up into the sun and I think, wow, here I am. This is home. You see? This is home. Why? Because the sun is a very big thing. And it has the power to rejuvenate, give me life. Similarly, we are in the cloudy material world. We are feeling very dismal. This is natural because we are not in our real position. So therefore, when we come to this plane of Krishna consciousness, then we are home, back to Godhead. Then we feel, oh, now I'm home. Now I can take real shelter, complete shelter. We can take complete shelter. Because, why? Because Krishna is substantial. You see? He is substantial. He is substantial. Because why? He's unlimited. He is unlimited. Unlimited. What is his unlimited potency? Ananda. Ananda Moya Vyasad. He has unlimited pleasure. Krishna's entire creation is full of pleasure. You see? You can't understand that materially because there's no pleasure here. The shadow does not have grapes. Isn't it? If you go to a grapevine and there's a shadow, you can't enjoy some grapes from the shadow. You look pretty stupid trying to take some grapes. Or if there's a reflection of a mango tree in the river and you dive into the river, you look stupid. But that doesn't mean there are no mangoes or there's no grapes. It's just that you found the wrong ones. You found the shadow. So similarly, all of the things that are here, they're there. But in complete form, not incomplete. They are complete. They are full of Satchidananda Vigraha. They are full of Sat and Chit. So this, what is the meaning of this Sat? It means substantiality. You see? Completely substantial. Everything is there. The trees are substantial. The grass is the green, the grass, the scenery. Everything is completely full of ananda, ecstasy. Prabhupada said in the spiritual world, if you could smell flowers, you faint in ecstasy. Just from the aroma. Never mind seeing anything. Even if you just get the aroma. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would get the aroma of Vrindavan. He would just faint in ecstasy. So powerful. This is ananda. Everything has full consciousness. Here, we see that even the fruit, you eat it, it's got no taste. It's got no aroma, nothing. Everything is just a little small amount of pleasure can be squeezed. So there in the spiritual world, everything is non-different from the same, there's no difference between the land of Krishna and Krishna. There's no difference between the variegatedness of a spiritual world and Krishna. Everything is one absolute energy. There's no relativity there. Everything, just like when you're in Vrindavan, you are in Krishna. The Mayavadis, impersonalists, they want to merge with Krishna. No. The devotee wants to be with Krishna. You see, what's the use in merging? Just like if you are in a beautiful paradise, then how can you enjoy by merging with one of the plants? See, or something like that. You try and understand that the real pleasure is to be with Krishna. To be with Krishna. So therefore, this spiritual world, everything is unlimited. The trees give unlimited fruits. Everything is unlimited. Everything is fully conscious. The ground is conscious. The trees are conscious. The birds, everyone is conscious. There's no lack of consciousness there. There's no two things. In the material world, there's two things, matter and spirit. They don't properly mix with each other. Just like your body. Your body and you are not mixing. They're not mixing. You see, you're trying to mix yourself up with your body. But in actuality, you see that you can't even have a relationship with your body. Because the body itself is made up of matter, dead air, and some water. So there's no relationship between you and your body. Just like if you pull out your intestines, you have a relationship with them? What is it? Some machine. You see, the body is a machine. And therefore, it's just like trying to have a relationship with a car. Its only relationship is when it functions for your benefit. When the body functions for your benefit, then you have a relationship with it. When it starts not functioning for your benefit, you'd like to get rid of it. Suicide. You see? People cut their necks. Because the body now is not doing what they want it to do. So that's the material world, the shadow thing, you see? When it's giving you some pleasure, you think, ah, what the heck, it's a great place. But when it's not cooperating with you, non-cooperation is its real quality, then, oh, suicide. Let me get out of here. Moksha. Dharma, artha, karma, moksha. When you're having karma, artha, economic development, sanskara, then you want. Similarly, your body, when it's cooperating with you, oh, nice. But when you've got extreme stomach ache, when you've got cancer, when your ears are falling off and your teeth are falling into your subject, huh? Then you're embarrassed, isn't it? God, what is this? You bite an apple and there's four teeth left in it. You think, what's going on here? Hey, this is getting serious. So therefore, when your body is cooperating, so matter is only good when it cooperates. But matter is not, you are not the lord of matter. You understand? You're not the lord of matter. You can't force it to cooperate. It may cooperate, it may not cooperate. But in reality, that whether it cooperates or doesn't cooperate, that's your good luck or bad luck, isn't it? Just like if you put 100 pounds on a horse to come in first, if it wins, you feel great. If it comes in last because it fell over at the first fence, you're crying. So sukha dukkha da, sukha dukkha. When the matter is cooperating with you, you got your nice, you're like here, you see, there, some cooperation is there, but then they overdo it, they take so much alcohol, they're falling over and banging their head drunk, sick, you see? So cooperation is the real thing. We've come here to make matter cooperate with us. So we have to subject it to our will. But that's not real thing. If matter itself was conscious, then it would take the initiative, you see? But because matter is dead, it doesn't take the initiative. So we have to use all the initiative, therefore struggle. Matter is a struggle, you see? It doesn't have any initiative. So when you want to enjoy it, you got to do all the work, you see? It doesn't. Just like what is the quality of matter? It's dead. It's dead, you see? Just like, good example, old age. You don't want your body to get old because you want to have a good time. But it gets old. It doesn't cooperate with you because there's no initiative. It doesn't see that you want it to stay young. Why? Because it's made up of dead elements. So even though you want to be young, but the matter, the body doesn't have any, it just works according to outside forces. See? Outside forces. Therefore, in the force of nature, your body will get old. It will get decrepit and it will die. And you're just an observer of that. Really, you're just observing these fundamentals. So sometimes with a little hard work, you get it to cooperate with you a bit and you feel proud. Oh, I got something here. Isn't it? Proud as a peacock. But when it isn't cooperated, both individually and collectively, what are we trying to do? We're trying to subject matter to our desires. But it'll never be subjected to us because it's our controller. Because matter is the energy of Krishna. So therefore, the only way that you can get matter to function properly is use it in Krishna's service. Then it becomes glorious. And as much glorious as it can, isn't it? As much as it can. Matter is always a bad bargain. But at least Prabhupada said, make the best use of a bad bargain. get this bag of skin and bone and stool and everything else and use it to serve Krishna and die doing it. Die like Arjuna on the battlefield. Be ready to sacrifice everything to please Krishna. Then your life will become glorious because you will go back to home, back to Godhead. And even while in this material world, you will enjoy real freedom. Real freedom. Because to be with Krishna is to be free. Because He's free. You see? He's God. He's free. And you are also free. But somehow or other, you've come into this prison. And to get out of this prison, you have to make friends with the governor, the boss. Isn't it? You better get in with the boss, quick. Otherwise, you have to stick around there and suffer the afflictions of this temporary world. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions at all?
Someone asked me a question about a Chinchabeda Veda Tattva. And they said that if we're simultaneously one and different from Krishna, where does Krishna end and where do we begin?
Where does Krishna end? There's no end to Krishna. How can you have an end? If something is unlimited, where's the end?
Well, not an end in that sense, in the sense that we're an individual person, right? But a Chinchabeda Veda Tattva is the idea that we've expanded from Krishna. So Krishna is expanded into the jiva as a living entity with an individual personality.
Expanded? No, the living entity is Krishna. We are, all of us are Krishna, but we're tiny Krishnas. You understand? There's big Krishna and there's little tiny, just like the sun. The sun is the sun and the spark of fire is also the sun. The quality of the spark is the same in quality, but in quantity we are different.